So we are blessed in this church. Amen. I like it that you didn't even have to say it to you why we're blessed. But we're blessed in this church. But we're also blessed in that the Lord, you know, if we're not going to grow from the outside, we're going to grow from the inside. So the Lord is adding to our number. We've got a number of ladies that have had babies. The good news is that Tembi had a little one on Monday. And I sent out the picture on WhatsApp, those of you that get WhatsApp. She's healthy, the little one's healthy. It's a blessing to go and visit with them and hold this little one and see mommy just shining. But this morning we've got our sister Tembeka, and we're going to do a dedication this morning. So if I can ask you two to come forward, mom and dad, Tembeka and Wandile. If you come and stand here. And as they're getting ready, there they are. I'm looking there, but they're sitting there. Would have been very strange if I called you forward and you weren't here. As they come forward, I'm just going to read you the scriptures that we base baby dedication on. The first we know out of 1 Samuel chapter 1, where Hannah was praying for a son, or for a child, and particularly for a son. And for a long time she didn't have one. And she went before the Lord and she cried in the Lord's presence and she said, Lord, if you'll give me a son, I will dedicate him. And it says in verse 20, so it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him from the Lord. And then we know that as he was weaned, she took Samuel and she dedicated him to the Lord. And she left him there at the temple, and he grew up in the presence of the Lord, and he became a mighty prophet. You two can actually come forward. Oh, are you still preaching something? And then we also know that in Matthew chapter 19, little children were brought to Jesus. It says in verse 13, then the little children were brought to him that he might put his hands on them and pray, but the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, let the little children come to me. And do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed from there. So this is a scriptural thing that we do. We're not baptizing the children. We're not sprinkling them. This mom and dad are bringing their little one, Sean, before you as witnesses, and they dedicate him to the Lord. Amen. And we are so glad to share that with them. They still call me, Tembi and Tebeka call me Uncle Keith, because we saw them growing up in the church. And she was reminding me of when they used to come with the Noria to our cell in Mindalo. Just little girls, yourselves. But you grew up in the Lord. Your mom raised you in the Lord. So she set the right example. And so this morning, I want to encourage the two of you to set the right example for your little boy. And it looks like he's a blessing. Come stand here next to me. Did I get it right? Is it Wandile? No. Wandile. I think I might have spelled it wrong. Because I spoke to you after two. Can I take this little voice? I've had the privilege of holding two little boys, Honoria's grandson. I think I've held them more than you, Honoria. I want to just thank you for making this commitment to the Lord, both of you, to say that this gift that God has given us, we're going to commit to Jesus. But I want you to know that this is not just a ceremony that we do for babies. It's not just a ceremony. If it is just a ceremony to you, then we're wasting everybody's time now. As you make this commitment, you make it before witnesses and you make it before the Lord, that you will bring him up in the ways of the Lord. There's a scripture that says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. My wife had to remind me of that many times. And there's another scripture that says, spare the rod and spoil the child. You know, sometimes moms are soft and they don't really want to discipline. But you create a rod for your own back. But more than anything, I'm going to challenge you to set the right example in your household. As you dedicate this little boy to the Lord, let him see in you that which he will grow up to be. Let him see Christ Jesus in you. In your household. Set the right example, Wandile. Set the right example. Don't let them see you two going the wrong way. Because you can't say, don't do what I do what I say. It doesn't work. Let him see Jesus in the two of you. Amen. Oh, and I'm being a bit rough with this little boy and he thinks like, so I'm just saying, I just want to get it right. Tando wetu. Tando wetu. Letu. Tando. Okay. Sean. Tando letu. Molefe. In the presence of witnesses and with your mom and dad, we're going to dedicate you now to the Lord. Father, we dedicate this little boy. What a precious treasure to have children. Your word said it's a blessing to have children. The man who has his arrow pouch full of them is blessed. And Father, you bless this family with this little one. And even as I'm now holding him in my arms, I speak your blessing of him. Sean, the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you. He's in agreement. The Lord be gracious to you, lift his countenance upon you, and the Lord grant you his peace all the days of your life. There you go, Mum. And I'm just going to pray for these two. I was there for a good time. Lord, I just pray for this precious family. Thank you for what you're doing in their lives. Thank you that they are yours and their little one is yours. Grant them the grace and the peace they need to raise little Sean up in your ways. Let the challenge I've given to them this morning ring in their ears every time they make a decision to walk in another direction and instead of leading them your way. I ask your blessing and your favor in Jesus' name. And let this family be a tight family unit that has much joy in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Congratulations. May you bring in much joy. And this is one of my children. Congratulations. Thank you for a grandchild. My own children aren't doing it for me. So you too are doing it. The Lord bless you. And you've done a certificate. And let us just serve it. It's just a certificate. It's what's in your heart this time. Amen. Congratulations. And may the Lord bless you. I like it. I just love babies. My wife was young enough, she'd be in trouble. Sorry, it's my fault. It's actually Sean's fault. So now I've done what I always do, and it's 10:15, and now I need to preach, and you know I'm going to preach for an hour. So please get yourselves ready. Make yourself comfortable, but not too comfortable. It's all for you, Auntie Phyllis. I must do one announcement, which I said I'll do in one of my previous messages. And it's an important announcement. I've actually left it too late. This pastor is a naughty pastor, okay? In 2 weeks' time, he's not coming to church, okay? He's going to chase a worldly pursuit as he rides on 94.7. And it's just as bad. I'm blaming everybody this morning. And to try and make me feel better about it, I thought, well, I can't just go and ride. I must do something good. Something good must come out of it. And for a long time, I was wondering, should we start a widows and orphans fund or what? But with what the Lord is doing with the children that are coming and the babies that are coming into church, I want to raise some funds for the back. You know, he was so good. Just let him stay. What I want to do is, I want to raise some funds. So I want to cycle for good, and I've left it to the last minute. I don't even have a form for you to sign, but don't worry, the ladies at the desk will make a plan. I'm going to ask you to sponsor myself and Joshua. You don't mind, Josh? Okay. We're gonna round it off to 100 kilometers, so if you can sponsor us around a kilometer. And I want to challenge you, if I can ride it under 3 hours, that you double it. Now that's going to be hard for me, okay? But it's not impossible. If I can do it under 3 hours. Last year I did it in 3:25. So that's what I will be doing, but I've left it very late. But I want to ask you, catch the vision with me. Don't just do it, but if you feel in your heart you want to sponsor me so that at least some spiritual good will come out of my being on the road in 2 Sundays' time. And this is no excuse for you to stay out of church, okay? We're going to have a very special service on that Sunday. Won't you just give your name to whoever is at, who's at the desk today? There we go. Lulu says she can do all things, so she can handle the challenges I throw there. And maybe you can't afford 100 grand, then sponsor me 10 cents a kilometer or 50 cents a kilometer. Amen. Will you do that? You don't have to say yes. Don't say yes if you're not going to do it. But I believe we can put that money to good use. We need the clothing. We need what you're going to donate. But sometimes it's going to take money. And we'll ask, we'll put that money in the church's account and ask Trevor to open an account called Baby Fund. Is that right, Trevor? You see, I'm challenging him financially. And then I will feel good about being out of church and following a worldly pursuit on, in 2 weeks' time. Will you forgive me for not being in church? What I have asked is when we had our workers and leaders meeting yesterday, that those that were here would take notice who's not in church on that Sunday, just because you think you can bunk because the pastor's not here, and I will be calling you on Monday. As I now have a reputation of doing. With no further ado, let me get into the Word of God this morning. You know, one of the things we were speaking about yesterday, and one of the core values of this church is that we want to be real people. Real people are real people. So yes, real people do have hobbies, and real people do play sport. And how else do we get to come into contact with other people in the world if the only people we will mix with is the people in the church? And that's not an excuse. But we do these things, but we've got to remember that God has always got to be first. Amen. So keep the right balance. Otherwise, we will have your pastor challenging you. The message this morning is, my name is Christian. I believe it's in line. I was looking for my bottle that's down there. I believe it's in line with the word that Kathy brought this morning. The Lord loves us and He wants to bless us. We've just completed, in fact, today is the 1st of November, a month of dedication and sanctification. So I trust that you spend time searching your heart and spend time in the Lord's presence, allowing Him to rebuild the spiritual walls in your life, as He did in Nehemiah. I trust that you worked through the book of Nehemiah and that you fasted with us on Mondays. But God has been working in our lives. And when God works in our lives, change comes. In fact, the Word of God is very clear that God is a God who brings change. He uses the word, if you look in your Bible, transformation. He uses the word transformation. And 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18 says this, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. God is busy working in your life and my life, bringing about transformation, bringing about change. If there's no change taking place, then we need to do a spiritual temperature check. And we will probably find that our spiritual temperature is cold. But that's when we need to stand up and take notice. Because when our spiritual temperature gets cold, God will bring things into our lives to introduce change. Remember a few weeks ago when Ron spoke, he said, get off the porch. The Christians had got comfortable and they were meeting on Solomon's porch in Jerusalem. And the gospel wasn't getting spread any further. So God allowed persecution to come. If we allow our spiritual temperature to become too cold, God will allow things to happen in our lives to bring about the transformation that He wants to bring into our lives. Can I hear an amen? Church, I need you to be loud this morning. You need to keep this pastor awake. Okay. God will bring change. This morning what I want to speak about is, how is God able to change and transform people? And then I want to speak to you about what we need to do to enable God to bring about that change in our lives. Just those two things this morning. And my message comes from Genesis. Turn in your Bibles with me. I've titled this message, My Name is Christian. And when I say Christian, I mean as in what we are, Christians. My name is Christian. Genesis 32 verse 24 starts and it says this, then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. But he said, I will not let you go
unless you bless me. So he said to him, what is your name? In church, if I ask you what is your name, when you leave this place this morning, I'd like you to answer me. My name is Christian. He said to him, what is your name? He said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. First thing I want to say to you about this morning, is that we need to identify the real problem in our lives. Jacob was in a difficult situation. He was heading back to his homeland, and his brother Esau was heading towards him with a band of 400 trained warriors. The last time Jacob saw Esau, it was when he was running away after having stolen his birthright. Esau could get his birthright back. But the only way he could do that was if he wiped out Jacob and all of Jacob's line and killed all of his children. So that all that was left to inherit the birthright was Esau. Jacob knew that and he was in real trouble. And he was afraid. And he was afraid for his children and he was afraid for his own life. And he was afraid for his wives and his servants. And he had this massive amount of wealth that God had blessed him with. He was afraid he was going to lose it all. Jacob went that day in desperation. And that night, he wrestled with the Lord. He wrestled with the Lord all night long. It says he wrestled with an angel. He wrestled and he wrestled and he wrestled. He was desperate. He said, Lord, save my family. Don't let my children be killed. Lord, spare me. Esau is coming. He's going to kill me. They're too strong for us. He hates me. I won't survive. I'm desperate for your help. The first problem that Jacob had was the problem that some of all of us struggle with. He saw Esau as the problem. And often in our lives when things are going wrong, we see everything else as the problem. But God wanted to show Jacob something. God wanted to show Jacob that he was the problem. Esau would have been easy to deal with for God. Our problems, our sickness and our disease and our struggles and our financial issues, they're easy for God to deal with. But when it comes to dealing with us, that is where God has a struggle. You know why? Because we sometimes not open for Him to work in our lives. We're not open for Him to bring about the change and the transformation that He wants to bring about in our lives. He wants to change us from glory to glory, but He wants us to be available. And when we keep looking at Esau, the Esau's in our lives, and saying, Esau's the problem, God can't work in our lives. You see, God wants to bring that transformation about in you and in me. And when we're looking at Esau, He can't do it. Jacob was afraid for his future, his life, his family. God wanted Jacob to learn something through this. God wanted Jacob to see that the real problem was Jacob. Why do I say that? Why do I say that? Jacob, when he was born, his name was grabber of the heel, deceiver. Jacob's whole nature was deception. Jacob wouldn't have had the problem with Esau if he hadn't robbed him of his birthright. He stole from Esau. And therefore Esau had the right to be angry and the right to want to wipe Jacob and his entire family out. But Jacob didn't see that. Jacob saw Esau as the problem. And in our own lives, God wants to work. There's things in our lives God wants to deal with. There's things in our character God wants to say, come, I love you. I want to take that character flaw and I want to wipe it out. And I want to change your life. But as long as I keep on saying, that person is the problem. My family are the ones that are all difficult. It's not me that's difficult. Or the financial situation in the country is the problem. That's why I don't have money. Meanwhile, God is busy trying to change our own character. Who knows that trials create perseverance and build character in our lives. God uses circumstances and situations in our life to build us up because He's interested in us as the individuals. He wasn't so interested in Esau as what he was in Jacob that night, that Jacob struggled with him. Do you know what happened? Because Jacob refused to let go because he was so desperate that night, the angel even touched his hip and he became crippled and he said, I will not let go. The angel said, it's morning time. He said, I won't let go. God said to him, what is your name? He said, my name is Jacob. He said, I will bless you and I'm going to give you a new name. And he gave him the name Israel. You know what Israel means? It means Prince with God. Just think about that. Being transformed from deceiver to prince with God. Deceiver to prince with God. And there's a couple, I'll just go back into my notes here. It means to rule, to be strong, and to have authority over. He took that name from being deceiver to somebody who rules and is strong and has authority over. Jacob no longer needed to deceive anybody. He no longer needed to use trickery to get blessings. God said, I'll give it all to you. You're a prince with me. I give you power with me and power with men. And that power, and it comes out of the scripture here, in Genesis 32 verse 28. And he said, thy name shall no more be called, and it's the King James Version. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men. As a prince hast thou power with God and with men. Turn to the person next to you and say, power with God and with men. Amen. And this is what God wants to show you. Who would like to have power with God and with men? Can I see a show of hands? We all want that power. As a prince, Jacob had that power. That power doesn't only mean power. It also means favor. Can you picture this? Can you picture if I were to go and knock on Jacob Zuma's door and say, hello, Mr. President, it's Keith here. I want to come and have a chat with you. Do you think he'd let me in? Do you think I'd land my butt in jail? I would, okay? But imagine if a prince from Arabia, one of these rich countries, princes, came and knocked on his door and said, I want to have a meeting with you. They'd roll out the red carpet. Does that speak about favor? As a prince, Israel, or Jacob, had favor. So he had power and favor with God and with men. And that's what God wants to say to you this morning. You can have power and favor with God and with people, with men. Amen. At least I got one kind of amen there. But Jacob first had to say this, I will not let go unless you bless me. And because he chose not to let go, God has a plan for each and every one of our lives. He's got a plan for our lives when the enemy attacks. He's got a plan for our lives when people are nasty with us. He's got a plan for our lives when our wheels seem to fall apart. He's got a plan for our lives when we're struggling with depression. He's got a plan for our lives when we're struggling with addiction. He's got a plan for our lives. But we need to push through and get the victory. Sometimes we push and we push and we push and eventually we just give up. It's kind of linked to the word that I gave you this morning. Josh, you've been waiting, waiting, waiting. Don't give up. Because the victory is just there. Amen. We need to say, I won't let go unless I have your blessing. And when Jacob said that, God said, well, as a prince, I will give you power with me and with men. Because you've prevailed with God, you will prevail before me and before men. Who'd like to prevail before God? Amen. But we need to bring our circumstances and our situation to the Lord. If we're willing to press through, His blessing will come. But it will take weeping. And it will take wrestling. In Hosea, it speaks about the same incident. And I pulled it out of the Amplified Version. It said, he wrestled with the angel and prevailed. He wept, in brackets, in repentance, and sought his favor. He met him at Bethel, and there God spoke with him. And in brackets, it says, him and through him with us. So this message that God spoke to Jacob, he was speaking to you and our church. Hosea said that Jacob wrestled and he wept. Jacob was dealing with Yah. something in this situation. He was weeping. He was weeping for his family. But I don't think he was just crying about his family. God wouldn't have just blessed him. God was working with his character. And that's why God renamed him. He was weeping in repentance. He was saying, God, I know I've done wrong. I know I wronged Esau. I know that's why he wants to kill me. But God, will you grant me your mercy? Please, Lord, help me. And as he was doing that, God was allowing Jacob to see the Jacob and deal with the Jacob in his life instead of pointing at the Esau's in his life and making it everybody else's problem. And God wants to transform each and every one of our lives like that. We've just come through this month. And I believe this is the word God has for us for today. That he wants to take the Esau out of your life. He wants to deal with the Jacob. He wants to deal with the Keith. He wants to deal with the Hino. He wants to deal with the whoever's in you. That's why I say my name is Christian. He wants to deal with us personally and deal with the character flaws and the challenges that we have in our lives. And he wants to bring victory into our lives. But we need to get desperate. Are we desperate enough? Jacob knew, if I don't come before the Lord tonight and get a victory, my family's blotted out off of the face of this earth. Are we that desperate with our circumstances, the things that we're battling with, the things, you know, they can even be sin in our lives that we've been struggling with for years and years and years and years. And we go to the Lord and we get a temporary victory and then we struggle with the same thing again. Or sickness. Or family situations. And we go to the Lord and we go and we give up. How desperate are you, church, to get the victory that God has got for you? Are you desperate enough to come and wrestle with the Lord? To come and cry in the presence of the Lord? To seek His forgiveness if you need to seek His forgiveness? Are you desperate to hang on all night long and say, I won't let go until I get the blessing? Or do we give up? Do we try a little bit? Ugh, this isn't working. We get miserable and we move along. That's many of our lives, church. We can all sit there and be holier than thou. But in my life it's happened, and I know that in your life it's probably happened too. God wants to bless us. He wants to bring about that change in our lives. God had a work to do in Jacob's life. You know that angel, who knows that the angels are far more powerful than what we are. Jacob wrestled with the angel of the Lord. It says angel in big A. He was wrestling with God. Who knows that God could have just touched him and he would have been dead. But God didn't want to kill Jacob. God didn't want to punish him for the wrong he done. God wanted to teach him something about himself. He put up with Jacob, wrestling with him all night long. He could have said, be away from me. And Jacob would have been gone. Could have consumed him in fire. But instead he allowed Jacob to wrestle. He allowed Jacob to wrestle with him. God wants to allow you to wrestle with him. We can wrestle with God. He wants to allow you to wrestle with him so that he can build your character. He's busy working in each of our lives. His plan was to show Jacob that he could change. I want to tell you this morning, church, we can change. God can change us. He can change every aspect of our lives. But we need to hold on until we get the victory. We need to be desperate enough to do desperate things like holding on to God and saying, I refuse to let go. Are you willing to hold on to God and say, I won't let go? Are you? This is going to take getting serious with God. Sometimes we play games with God, church. We all do. As a pastor, I can say I've seen it. Before I was a pastor, I've seen it in my own life and many people's life. We play games with God. We need to be serious with God. And as I said earlier on, sometimes we need to get off the porch, as Ron preached about 2 Sundays ago. We need to get off the porch. Sometimes God will allow things. We say, God, why? God, why? But because we're not allowing Him to do the work in our lives that He wants to do. So He needs to bring some kind, or allow some kind of adversity to come, some kind of challenge to come that we've got to deal with, because it brings our priority back onto Him. And then we take hold of God and say, okay, God, well, now I'm going to struggle with You until I get the breakthrough. Are you willing to struggle until you get the breakthrough? God wants to get the Keith out of me so that I can reach my full potential. He wants me to bring me to the place where I have power with God and power with me, and favor with God, and favor with men. Say that with me again. Power and favor with God. Power and favor with me. Speak it over your life. Let us say, I won't let go. And then I want to, and I'm keeping this message very short because I knew we had a lot to do this morning. I want to ask you, what is your name? What's your name? Cheryl. I thought I knew something, Cheryl. What's your name? For now, your name is whatever your name is, okay? My name is Keith. Do you know that the breakthrough came when God asked Jacob, he said, what is your name? And Jacob didn't answer, my name is Esau. He answered, my name is Jacob. The last time he'd been asked who his name was when he was standing before his father, claiming his brother's birthright. And he lied. And his father said, it's the voice of Esau. Jacob, but it feels and smells like Esau. Jacob, the last time he said who he was blaming somebody else. He was lying about who he was. He was not facing the reality of who he was. There's things about our own lives that we know that we don't like. There's things about my life that I don't like. But once we come before the Lord and we face the reality of who we truly are, we know if we're not so nice. We know if we're selfish. We know if we've got an addiction. We know if we battle with swearing and alcohol or drugs or porn or addictive food. We know if we've got a challenge when it comes to money and we're not always honest with money. Jacob came before the Lord and he said, my name is Jacob. My name is thief. My name is supplanter. My name is deceiver. He was honest with the Lord. That was when the breakthrough came. When he said that, he said, your name will no longer be Jacob, it will be Israel. When we go before the Lord in honesty, then he can work. Because then we're not pointing at all of those things. And if you take nothing else from this message, there was a reason God asked him, what is your name? God was testing him to see how he'd answer. If he had answered, my name is, I'm not guilty, or, you know, do you think God would have blessed him? No. But he said, my name is Jacob. I come before you, Lord, and I own up for who I am and what I've done. God is challenging each and every one of us today. Are we willing to own up and say who we really are? The picture that the pastor doesn't get to see, I was speaking about the people yesterday, and how they dress up and the house is all clean and it's all beautiful, roses. When the pastor comes to visit and as the pastor leaves, the husband and wife, yaka, 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 fighting with each other, and the bad language comes out, and the beer comes out the fridge. We need to go before the Lord and say, here I am, just as I am. I acknowledge who I am, Lord. Then God's got something to work with. He can't work with deception. He sees right through it any case, and he will refuse to work with it. Once Jacob said, I am Jacob, then the Lord said to him, your name will no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. You will have power and favor with God and with man. When we come before the Lord and we admit who we are, God will grant us power and favor in his sight. And power and favor with those that deal with him. When Jacob walked away, his future was different. His life was different. He had a new name. He didn't even walk the same. He had a limp. When we come into the Lord's presence and we hang on and we're honest and we push through till we get the breakthrough, our lives will change. We walk away a different person. Jacob was never the same. He was reconciled to his brother. God blessed him and he became one of the forefathers as God has promised his father Abraham and him and his son Isaac. God's blessing poured out all over his life because God gave him favor with God and power with God. Favor and power with man. God wants to change your and my future too. Today, he wants to bring about that change. But there remains a truth for us. Are we willing to prevail? Are we willing to be honest about our lives? Are we willing to face the character flaws in our lives? And none of us are perfect. For all have fallen short of the glory of God. We all fall short. Are we willing to do what it takes for God to give us power and favor before him and with man? Inside each of our lives is a Jacob waiting to become an Israel. A Paul, a Saul waiting to become a Paul. A Simon waiting to become a Peter. And that's why I titled this message, our name is Christian. In Keith, there's a Christian waiting to come out. In Pauline, there's a Christian waiting to come out. In Tony, there's a Christian waiting to come out. God is wanting to work. Maybe I must pick on this side of the church. In Ryan, there's a Christian waiting to come out. Amen. God wants to work in our lives. God wants them to rename drug addict and porn addict Christian. He wants to rename depressed Christian. He wants to rename grumpy and angry Christian. He wants to rename idolater Christian. But we need to come before Him and allow Him to do the work. We need to push through and let Him get the victory. Then we can have power and favor with man and with God. Turn again to the person next to you and say, I have power and favor with God and man. Turn to the person on the other side of you and say, I have power and favor with God and man. Do you know what you've just said, church? Just think about what you've just said. Just think about the power of those words. I have power with God. That sounds like almost irreverent. But Jacob, because he was willing to struggle all night and say, I won't let go, God says, well, you have prevailed in my sight. Now I will give you power and favor with me and with you. He was honest about who he was. He stopped blaming Esau and blamed Jacob. He repented. His life was changed forever. He said, I won't let go until I get the victory. In church, there's so many of us struggling with things in our lives, whether it be sickness and disease, finances, whatever, the same thing, over and over. Pretty much the same things we all struggle with. Could be grief. Could be depression. It could be financial trouble. It could be problems at work, relationship problems. It could be ourselves that we don't like very much. If we're willing to come before the Lord today, He will bring about that change. And we will be renamed Christian. Do you want to be renamed Christian today? Let's stand. I'm going to ask you to say one more thing. I'm not going to ask you to turn to the person next to you. I'm going to ask you, what is your name? And if you've made the decision this morning that you're going to do what Jacob did, then don't shout out, my name is Keith. Okay? Church, what is your name this morning? Let's say, my name is. Okay. What is your name this morning, church? You see that thing? It looks like a name tag. Let's wear that. Now let's declare it this morning. I don't want you just to say. What is your name this morning, church? My name is Christian. Can we say that again? My name is Christian. God wants you to walk out there different from the way that you walked in. Let's just drop our heads and close our eyes. Is there anybody here this morning that has never received Jesus as Lord and Savior? That even though they've heard this message, cannot yet call themselves Christian because you haven't become a Christian? If that's you this morning and you want to become a Christian, just raise your hand. Is there anybody like that this morning? Raise it high in case I don't see. So, everybody here this morning is a Christian. Now we're going to pray. If you want God to bring about change in some area of your life, whether it's something you've been trusting Him for a long time, whether it's something, sin area in your life you've been struggling with, I'm not going to call you forward to embarrass you. We're going to just pray. If that is you this morning, if you want God to bring a character transformation into your life this morning, or if you've got a need that you want to push through for, raise your hand. And I'm going to pray. Raise it high. Lord, many hands have gone up here this morning. Father, we need a Jacob experience. We need to face the Esau's in our lives. We need to take responsibility and say, my name is Jacob. My name is Keith. My name is adulterer. My name is alcoholic. My name is glutton. My name is backstabber. My name is liar. My name is thief. My name is hurting. My name is depression. My name is struggling. My name is poor. We need to change it all around and say, you can change it for our good and make our name Christian. You can meet us in every aspect, in every area of our need today. As long as we're willing to be honest before you, as long as we're willing to stand before you and fight for that which is ours, and say, I won't let go. I'll press through till I get the blessing. Lord, I pray for each person that has got their hand raised. that you'll give them that which they're asking for. Let their name be today, Christian. Let all the blessings that come with that title, Christian means little anointed ones. Let all the anointing of heaven be poured out upon those who raised their hands this morning. And let victory come in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we give the Lord a praise offering? Hallelujah. Turn to the person next to you and tell them who you are. Amen. Can I ask the worship team to come forward? Josh, you're going to close.